I'm afraid that today's sermon will hit close to home for many of you, and I suppose that's a good thing for a sermon, should speak into our lives. But we're going to talk today about overcoming loneliness, which is why I say it may hit close to home. I believe that loneliness is a universal problem. I think we all face this from time to time. It's not just something dealt with by widows or single people or others who live by themselves day after day. There's also empty nest parents whose kids have grown up and moved away. There are married couples who maybe are still together and yet have grown apart. There are people who have gone through divorce. There are teenagers who may think they don't have enough friends. Even people who seem happy or surrounded by lots of people most of the time may still have moments when you feel like no one really understands you. No one really loves you the way you'd like to be loved. Loneliness hits close to home. And we all feel this particular type of sorrow from time to time. That was certainly true for Paul. Might be surprising to think about this. Paul, who wrote a good portion of the New Testament, a great leader in the early church, led hundreds of people to new life in Christ. His name was known from Jerusalem to Rome, which was most of the known world at that time. And yet late in his life, Paul, who had been arrested for preaching the gospel, spent the last few years of his life in custody. In jail, or as the story will be as we read today at the end of 2 Timothy, Paul was under house arrest, living in Rome, cut off from everyone who he knew, his friends, his family, awaiting trial in a Roman court, a trial that would ultimately lead to Paul's death. Paul was abandoned by everyone, even those who knew and loved him. So listen to what he wrote. He wrote two letters to his friend Timothy. Timothy was sort of Paul's protege, a young man who he brought to faith and then trained in ministry. And he wrote a letter to him, 1 Timothy, and now as we read into 2 Timothy, writing to encourage Timothy. But Paul was also in need of encouragement. And so as he comes to the end of this letter, listen to what he writes to his friend. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. And when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my right hand and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's ministry of evangelism, of what we'd call these days church planting, connected him with thousands of people. Paul was a well-known person in small towns, large cities, from, again, Jerusalem all the way around the northern coast of the Mediterranean Sea as far as Rome. Paul traveled, he knew people, his name was well known, he wrote letters, he helped establish the early church. And yet when he was sent to Rome to await trial, Paul was placed under house arrest. By the way, he had to pay for the house that he lived in. But it was better than being thrown into the dungeon. And there he was, left all alone. All alone. As far as we know, Paul never married. He had no children. We don't read anywhere in Scripture of any of his family members, siblings, parents, cousins, nephews, whatever. None of his family ever came to visit him, as far as we know. Despite all of his efforts to build the early church, in the end, Paul was left all alone, and he felt lonely and forgotten. From these words, it sure sounds like there were more people opposing Paul, more people working against him, than there were friends coming to comfort and encourage him and just be with him during those difficult days, really years, as he was held by the Romans. We know how Paul felt. We've all been there to some degree. And here's the hard reality that we want to talk about today, that we all face loneliness. And we feel this emptiness, this sorrow, most painfully as we go through the difficult times of life. We all know what it's like. For Paul, loneliness struck when he was held by the Romans under house arrest. No one came to his defense, he said. No one supported him during this very difficult moment in his life that we know ultimately leads to his life being taken from him. And he knew what was coming. Everyone deserted him in his time of need. So when does loneliness find you? When do you feel this emptiness? Might be first thing in the morning when you wake up in an empty home. Maybe it's when you sit down to eat a meal all by yourself. Maybe it's especially when you receive bad news and there's no one there to share it with. Or good news, and again, there's no one there to rejoice with you. Even if you have people around you most of the time, you can still feel alone, especially when something bad happens. I think a lot of us respond to trials and tragedies in our lives instead of by reaching out to people. We cut ourselves off when things aren't going well, and we close the doors and we sit in the darkness and we feel alone. Again, even if there are lots of people around you. Now, I understand some people like to be alone. That might be your personality. Maybe you enjoy getting away by yourself. There are some single people who choose never to marry, and that's a very legitimate and good choice for many people. You may enjoy a quiet home and time by yourself. Like Paul, God may call you to a life of singleness, and that's a good thing for you if that's the case. But still, when times get tough, you need people around you. You need those who can comfort you and listen to you and encourage you. You need people who can be for you what a good friend should be. You need the church family to pray for you. You need those who can walk with you, especially during those difficult moments of life. Which brings us to another truth, and that is that God created us with a longing for fellowship. And we meet this need in family and friendships and in the church. This is how God made us. Whatever your status is in life, married, single, widowed, divorced, lots of kids and grandkids, or maybe just you. But God created us to need other people, to be loved and also to love others. God created us with that need. We talked a few weeks ago about being created in the image of God, how God placed inside of all of us this spark of the divine, this spiritual desire to know God and to reach out to Him and to be in relationship with God. And in the same way, God created the human heart to long after other people. God created us to desire friendships and relationships and companionship. We need other people. And that's a good thing. It doesn't mean that you have to be married, you have to have lots of kids. That may not be your calling in life. It doesn't mean you always have to be surrounded by lots of people. Some of us like to be alone some of the time. But none of us can go through life alone. None of us can live all alone all the time. And so Paul wrote to Timothy, come quickly to me, he said. I need you. He said, bring Mark with you. It's also interesting. He says, bring my cloak. I left that behind. Bring my copies of Scripture with you. You see, Paul had needs, and there were things that he wanted in his life, and he wasn't afraid to ask for those things that he knew that he needed. Most of all, he wanted to see his friends because he was going through a difficult time. And he needed those people around him who he knew would support him and care for him and understand his needs. So who does your heart call out for? Your family, your spouse, your children, your parents, a close friend, someone you trust. I hope you also find comfort and support in the church family. I know some of you, your closest friends are right here in this room. And that's a wonderful blessing that you have found in the family of God those who can walk with you through life. It's a gift from God. I hope that all of you, as you enter into this place, that you find love and acceptance here. I hope as you come in here, you find people, even if you don't say, oh, there's my best friends, I hope you at least find people who love you and who are happy to see you. I hope also that we watch as a church family for lonely people. I hope we pay attention to those who may be struggling, that we see those who may need encouragement, who may need a kind word spoken at the right time. I hope as a church we reach out to draw in people, especially those who may tend to drift to the edges. And there are people here who do tend to drift to the edges. Maybe those who may have trouble fitting in or speaking up, but no one should feel lonely in the body of Christ. Our ministries offer a place to connect and overcome loneliness. And I want to encourage you with this, that a Bible study is not just a Bible study. Gathering here to worship on Sunday morning is not just finding a place to praise God. These are also opportunities for fellowship, for friendship, to build relationships with other people. These are opportunities to not be alone, at least for part of your day. And if you're feeling disconnected, if you're feeling alone, I hope that you'll take advantage of the things that the church offers. Maybe you don't come to the Bible study because you want to study the Bible. Maybe you come just because you want to be with other people, and that's okay. And maybe you'll learn to love studying the Bible along the way. Maybe you'll learn to love worshiping God just because you've come to be with people on Sunday morning. And again, I hope we watch for those who are on the edges, who maybe don't make the effort to put themselves in a place where they can build relationships. And I hope we'll reach out and draw them in. That's one of the things that the church is called to do for one another. Now, this leads us to another truth that we find in Paul's words, that despite his loneliness, despite the fact that he was feeling deserted, as he said, as he stood there on trial, as he made his first defense in front of the authorities, he was all alone. He was alone. And yet Paul knew that he wasn't really alone. He says, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. And this is good news for all of us. That when you feel lonely, the Lord stands at your side and gives you strength. Overcoming loneliness is not as simple as just finding some friends to hang out with. That's a good thing to do. That may encourage you. But sometimes you just can't do that. You may actually live alone and spend long stretches of your day when no one else is around. Or maybe you are surrounded by lots of people, and yet the people that you're surrounded with don't really understand what your heart is longing after. And they can't give you what your heart really needs. And so remember that the Lord is at your right hand. Remember that God is the one who gives you strength. Remember that the Holy Spirit has been given to each of us to give us comfort and hope. Remember that Jesus walks beside you no matter what you face or where you go. Paul felt the Lord's presence there, standing at his side, even when he was all alone in a human sense, standing there on trial, being accused of things that Paul had actually done. Preaching the gospel, and yet falsely accused of things that weren't really crimes. But Paul was alone. His friends and his family weren't there with him, but God was. And Paul found strength in the Lord's presence. I think I've shared before that my grandmother lived alone for the last 20-some years of her life after her husband died. She stayed in her home all the way to the very end. The last couple years, her daughter, my aunt, lived with her because she needed the help. But for many of those years, she was all alone there. And she had a rocking chair in her kitchen by the window that looked out where she put her bird feeders. And so she would sit there and watch the birds come, and they were sort of her companions a lot of the time. And she would read the Bible, and she would pray for her family. And I'm sure that she was lonely a lot of the time. But she learned to listen to God in the quiet. And she found peace and she found joy in those moments. Being alone is hard. And it might be the reality of your life. You might be alone more often than you would like to be. But God stands at your side. And He gives you that strength and that hope and that comfort that He promises us. He's promised that He will never leave you. Jesus, in fact, said, "I will be with you always." And those are promises that are kept in our lives through the presence of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus called the Comforter. Because the Spirit comes to give us comfort when we need it most. And those are powerful promises that can help us overcome the loneliness in our hearts. So my hope for each of you today is that God would give you that peace and hope and comfort that you need. And also that God's people would surround you. That we would be a source of comfort and encouragement. So may God give you that peace. May God bring you that comfort. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank You for the promise that You never leave us. And Lord, I do pray for those who feel alone, maybe even deserted, missing those they loved who are not with them anymore, and spending time alone. Lord, I pray that You would encourage us. Lord, I pray that Your comfort would be felt, that it would be real. Lord, I pray that the promises that You have made would be powerful in our lives, that we would hope not just for eternity, but know also that the hope You give us is for today. And so we thank You, Lord, that You're with us, that You stand at our side. That You encourage us and give us strength. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Jesus, who is our Savior. As we pray in His name, amen.